the Christ DNA. That is in the characters in the Bible. And we're analyzing and checking the specific characters in the Bible. And we're going to continue in that line today. And picking out, you know, the Christ nature and the Christ habits and the Christ life that we saw in the very life of, who are the people that we're talking about? Can anyone remind me? We're talking about David, yes. We're talking about Joseph. We're talking about Esther. We're talking about, and you know, these guys, one thing I just want to say as we start immediately is that these guys were not perfect. You know, you can see male and female. He made them. You know, in Christ there is no male, there is no female. And you also have to understand that the reason why God by His Spirit has helped us to select these characters is because they are relatable, you know, because they are young people, you know, and they had their infirmities. How be it, they mirrored the Christ. Those were people that even the Lord, just when He was on earth, learned from. He picked, you know, snippets from their life because they all represented Him and showed His likeness, you know, and Him in a shadow. And so we're also picking from them, you know, the Christ life, so we also can live, you know, the same way and, you know, do the kind of things that Jesus wants us to do. And so it's in this, from these guys we're going to be talking about today. I know we're split into groups last week, but we're going to speak individually today. And from talking about them, we'll also extend it to two extra people, Joshua and Daniel, you know, and so that makes it six. And let's see how God helps us. But we'll review those guys we talked about last week. We'll also ask questions. Also a time to ask questions, you know, and to answer questions. So we have this discussion. So let's just be honest. Let's be practical. Let's be down to earth about this thing. Because, you know, God wants to help us. I don't know whether Prof has something to say before we go straight into that time of interaction.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just say a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the beauty of Your presence. We come by the blood of Jesus, come with reverence and respect before Your throne. We thank You, Father, for Your mercies. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your grace. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your love and help. We come under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of our fathers, under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. The Father, as we share, interact, we do it under an open heaven. Let a clear channel be created and maintained, my Father, in the heavenlies, through which more than enough the life and power flows. Lord, we pray that by the reason of the Spirit and the Word, You will break yokes, You will heal bodies, You will meet needs, You will bring glory to the name of Jesus, blessings to the sons of men. Let the Word of God have a free course. Father, let the Word of God be glorified. Dissolve doubts in our lives. Solve riddles so that it shall be well with us and fulfill our destinies. Father, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy against effectual delivery and receiving of the Word, against our interaction, against our growth and development. And so we take authority under the covering of the fathers of the house and under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind-wandering, fear, unbelief, and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil. We cast you out, destroy your works, resist and bind you, break your hold over our hearts, bodies and circumstances in Jesus' name. We lose the angels of God, seven spirits of God to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concern our prayers in Jesus' name. Thank You for the covering of our fathers. Thank You for the new chapter for Zion City Fellowship. Thank You for spiritual organic growth. Father, may confirm by the free course of Your Spirit dictating the pace. We thank You, Father, because You answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to Your power that is at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we were looking at some main characters last week. And one of the things we said was that individually, these people were different. Praise the Lord. They were what? Different. Male, female, each person has their own unique challenges, unique victories, but at the end, there was the nature of Christ in each person. Praise the Lord. And there's an encouragement to us that don't spend a lot of effort trying to be like another person. Amen. In your own obedience, experience, in walking with God, Christ's nature will show in you. Praise the Lord. And you also will become an example unto brethren and unto the world. Praise the Lord. So that was an encouragement to us that, and that this Pastor Lalo had said each person was, that they were not perfect. And maybe a twist to that was that each person came with his own baggage and disadvantages. Praise the Lord. And many times the devil tries to paint that picture before us, that our natural baggage, our disadvantages, will stand against us in becoming the best person that God wants us to be. And you need to reject that. Praise the Lord. You need to reject that. David, when they asked the father to produce his sons, he didn't count David as part of them. He has to say, Samuel, where are your sons? He said, these are my sons. And God sent Samuel, anoint a king for me among the house of Jesse. He said, I saw the prophet. A prophet came to the house and said, gather your sons. They left David out. Because the other sons were natural warriors. They were in the army. David was the one keeping the father's sheep at the backyard of the desert. So when Samuel went through each one, and God did not confess, but God told me that, having not, and he said, okay, there is still one more. He's keeping the sheep. He said, go and call him. We will not sit until he arrives. Praise the Lord. The one that they did not count worthy, all of them stood till he came. Praise the Lord. But you know, how would you have felt as David if they were count, your own father did not count you amongst those worthy to receive the prophet? He was in the army, he was a small boy and co. So each person came with his own natural disadvantage. That was David, underrated in his own house. Underdog. Is it Joseph? His brothers did not count him. They gave him nickname to show you how they despised him. So when you have 10 brothers, and the 10 gang up against you, you've come with a natural disadvantage. Esther in Babylon was a Jew. America said, don't let them know. Because naturally, Jews had their own quarters. They were not, put them aside. They are problematic people. They are not in the mainstream. And Ruth was a widow in her 20s. So where do you see, where is the hope? A widow in her 20s. These are some of the characters that sometimes, or traits we may have, and then because of that we say we are not ready to serve God. Those disadvantages, some people turned it around. Praise the Lord. And got to where God wanted them to be. Amen. So, we picked some characters in them. There were a lot. Let's start from the root, the widow at 20. Ruth saw what was not seen. Praise the Lord. Ruth saw what? What was not seen. That's hope in the widowhood. Followed Naomi. And Naomi told her, where's the hope? There's nothing here. There's nothing. But Ruth wanted to. Ruth, like we said, she left her own side and said, who will take care of this woman? Who will take care of this woman? I will follow you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, that's where also I will be buried. But like we always say today, what's in it for me? Ruth had nothing in it for her when she was making those decisions. Praise the Lord. And that's something we should learn. Because in this monetized world, in every action, people are looking for what's in it for me. And Ruth was ready to serve. I think it's fashionable now in the 21st century. People don't want to serve anybody. Wants to leave school, and from day one is an entrepreneur. He serves no man. It's not the character of Christ. It's David I was sharing with a few weeks ago. I said, when I got to my department as a lecturer in 99, the department has two parts, micro, gross. There were two guys. One was in charge of here, one was in charge. I marked all the scripts. Because I was the youngest lecturer. I marked all the scripts. So when they finish a test, I will invigilate. Olopade, that just means carry the script away and come back with the, go and mark it. All the practical exams, I marked the script. Then my two guys, one was dean, the other was HOD. I taught that they don't teach 8 o'clock in the morning. So I, 8 o'clock, I taught the 8 o'clock classes for them. So anytime there's a family function in Lagos, forget, by Sunday afternoon, I'm coming back. But most times I'm teaching 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday. Then my director guy, I go and pick his children from school. He's good to hear this. I told you, David, I go and pick his children from school, his son in staff school. I'm lecturer too. I go pick a son from school, take him home, and bring the car back. I was the youngest lecturer for 7 years before they employed somebody else. So what I'm telling you now, for 7 years. But I discovered something in marking all the scripts, both in micro and in gross. I got to understand the course. Very fast. I had a grip. Because, you know, you have to draw the marking scheme. You have to mark. And then somebody will tell you an answer that, this answer is not mentioned. Then when you go and search, you see that, this guy is correct. Then it becomes an ammunition for you. And with time, everybody started knowing my name all over the country in my field. That this guy knows the job. But that knowing came from servitude. Now, Ruth was ready to serve. Was ready to serve. Starting that service, not knowing what was in it for her. The character of Christ. Today, from the beginning, before we want to know what is in it for me. When you say, no, in this, you employed me, this is what I'm trained for. And go. You're not ready to do any extra thing. You're not ready for the Jackie job. It does two things. It trains you. And then when you do it with the right heart, it opens a door from submission. Praise the Lord. There's a God who rewards. Amen. That I don't think Naomi knew, but that's what she now experienced. There's a God that rewards. She just served. Praise the Lord. Esther, I'll just pick one major. Esther told her, Mordecai, don't let anybody know you're a Jew. And it's just the things that Mordecai gives her that she uses. I told you last week that she was a beauty queen. Praise the Lord. But the character of Esther that I just want to pick in the summary was, Esther says, I myself will fast. All my maidens will fast for 3 days will not eat anything or drink anything, and then I'll go before the king. And if I perish, I perish. Ah. And I had a pastor say many years ago, those who decide to perish, never perish. And many of us are held back from the next step because I may perish. And you hold back forever. But those who decide, if I perish, I perish, they never perish. Praise the Lord. I tell my son, I say, one day, it will happen to everybody. You will have to make a stand for God. You are growing up. Everything is being provided for you. But one day, God will show up. The God they've taught you about will show up. And will make a demand. Just be ready for that day. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But God shows up for everybody. For why? He loves everybody. So he will show up for you. And when he shows up, he makes a demand. That demand is out of love for you. Amen. So have you seen any father that loves a child and doesn't chastise the child? So Esther said, if I perish, I perish. You have to make a firm decision for God. Firm decision. You will know the conviction that this is the truth, but this truth is dangerous, but I stand by it. I stand by it. That's why, what's the problem of the church in society? They can't see integrity. Because nobody is ready to stake his neck out. That's what Esther was willing to do. If you do things properly, you may not get promotion. No. If you do things properly like this, they may sack you. And in the world, they don't see the people who stand for integrity. Because that attitude of, if I perish, I perish, is not there. So we all want to manage. Amen. Manage is an enemy of excellence. Praise the Lord. Once we manage as a church, we will not have glory. We can have our Christianity, but we won't have glory. You have the religion. If I perish, I perish. It's good to be saying to you, one day, a day comes, you have to make your firm decisions. David. There's a lot to say about David. A lot. Is the scriptures coming for us today? In Psalms, somewhere it talks about David. He said, what he was first doing was following the sheep and the ewe. If you make a search, I'm sure only very few places in the Bible has EWE. Psalm 78, yes. I want it. Let's check. Only, because hardly in the scripture do you have, you've seen it? Yeah, I want it read. Read it.
Thank you, sir. 70 to 72. He also chose David his servant and took him. From the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. And guided them by the skillfulness of his hands.
So, ewes are female sheep. That's a specific name for female sheep. So, the David we know that became a warrior, I said, no, but by first following the sheepfold, like I told you at the beginning, that they didn't count him. They left him with the sheep. Diligent for the sheep. Then when they were pregnant, it cared for them. He said, from doing that, God brought him to become a shepherd over his people. But in diligently following ewes and sheep, he had developed an integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands. Amen. And God said, you will lead my people. Praise the Lord. What's the principle there? It's the person that is faithful in little. It's the same one that will make a ruler over much. Skillfulness of his hands. Integrity of his heart. Taking care of the fathership. Following the pregnant ones. Guiding them. God promoted him. Amen. God's eyes has not changed though. God's eyes has not what? Changed. God hasn't changed his eyes. He hasn't changed his taste. And what's the eyes of God? He goeth to and fro the whole earth, looking for whose heart is perfect towards him. Amen. These are all lessons for us. Joseph. What can we say to young people about Joseph? Potiphar's wife. Praise the Lord. If we are to pick one lesson for young people from Joseph, it's Potiphar's wife. And he kept beseeching him, and Joseph will not. Praise the Lord. If you start to, if you are loose and unguarded about sexual discipline as a youth, there are places you will not enter with God. Let's say the truth. God forgives, God has mercy, God always helps people. But if you go on a path, on an indulgent path of sexual immorality, it's going to slow you down. Praise the Lord. It's going to slow you down. Joseph went, phew. That thing didn't slow him down. As mighty as David was, it slew him down. Don't let it. So, take control of yourself. Praise the Lord. Take control of yourself. I'm saying that, young people, because the way the society is structured today, minds are being bombarded. What 20, 21, 22-year-old guys face, I mean, I faced, but what they face nowadays is deep. It's deep evil. It's deep, deep evil. Depth of Satan. And I don't know how you can survive if you are not constantly setting your will. Because the thing will come against your will. But you have to set it. You will set it. You will set it. You will keep setting it. Praise the Lord. It's an immoral, promiscuous world. But Joseph said, I will not. Amen. And as young people, we need to talk to ourselves. Amen. Self-control. Take charge. Amen. Set your will. Be in control of yourself. I was talking to two young ladies separately. Their parents are good friends of mine, beloved brethren in church. They are going to university. And I called them individually. I said, be careful. You are already going with a heritage of favor for your father's sake. Don't pollute it. What will you see on campus? What are you going to meet on campus? What are you going to meet is, wow. What's your name, sister? Oh, my name is Bisola. Wow. You look so pretty. I was just passing. I just knew something like an in. So that, those are the things they will tell you in campus. You better arm yourself and don't let those things get into your head. It just takes a little carelessness and you are gone. You will hear it, oh. You can't do anything about it. You're not hearing it. You will hear it. That's what campus is all about. You will hear it. But before you go, I'm telling you now, set your will. Set your will. And be in charge of yourself. Why? 17, 18 is not the time. You are building foundation. Don't start getting involved with building skyscraper when there is no foundation in place. Your foundation is just two things. A thing going to campus. God and your books. And any little extracurricular. But those are the core. And getting yourself involved in one deep relationship where you are stepping on slippery grounds. Praise the Lord. So, those are four characters that we learned last week. David, Joseph, Esther, and Ruth. All with their imperfections, but all changed their lives around. And today they've become examples. Praise the Lord. And we concluded last week is that at the end of the day, what are we looking at? You yourself should be an example of the believer. Amen. They will see you and say, you yourself show forth the Christ. Amen. So that you yourself will show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
We'll pick it up from here. I know we have contributions, you know, we can start with, I know we still have things that, you know, you want to share practically, you know, or you have questions with regards to this discussion. Because, you know, these things relate to 21st century, you know, like Prof was already talking, I've been meditating on Joseph, but I don't want to take time. I want you to talk and then we'll just put it together in bits and pieces. You have contributions, you have to be smart about it. 1-2 minutes, so people concise and precise, so that people can share. I want to hear. I know you have things in your heart that God has dropped in your heart from these characters and these traits that you believe that solutions to challenges, you know, that people are going through, you know, and we can learn from these individuals, especially in the 21st century, or even if you have questions, yes, answer something. I don't stop pointing. It's an interaction. You know, it's called interaction. It's called... so we have a hand there. So you tell us your name, and you'll be concise and precise about it. I want the thing to flow, you know, because I know God is dropping thoughts in the hearts of people.
All right. So I'm Peter Oshlim, and my question goes thus. During the dispensation of David, then, when God wanted to choose him as a king, we were told that David was the least of his family, and God still chose him as a king. Let's come to the context of this century nowadays. Does God choose someone that is not like well known as a king or to rule over people in this century? That is just my question.
Anybody wants to answer? I will not answer immediately. I know there are people here too that, you know. So please, let's be quick about it, please. Let it flow. Let it move. Does God use underdogs? Does God use the least expected?
My name is Praise Olorun Femi.
Can I hear?
My name is Praise Olorun Femi. So what I will say is, is human being that label people as underdogs. God did not create underdogs.
Point.
So, probably because I know that I created, we are not the ones that created human beings. So that's why we don't have value for human beings. But God that created human beings has value for human beings. So it's you that know who is at the back and who is at the front, who is known and who is not known. But for God, man is man, and he uses what he wants to use.
Praise the Lord. Good word.
Anybody else? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
My name is Sarah. So what I just want to say is that God qualifies the unqualified. He has purpose for everyone. And for the purpose, he knows, even what we don't know yet. But he makes us go through some dealings, preparing us for that set purpose. So, in the case of David, God knew what he was preparing him for. That's why he created him and made him that prototype of the kind of person that he was. So today now, coming to this century, even spiritual assignments, God can make you an intercessor over a territory. You don't necessarily need to be a big pastor or a known person. Even in the church, nobody might even know that you have some qualities, you have some innate giftings in you. Nobody needs to know. But the God that has put that in you, we put you in situations where those things begin to come out. Coming out now, it may not be to the next person to you, to yourself. You begin to know. It begins to reveal to you. And you do some things, you don't know why you are doing it. But it's because God is preparing you. So, the example of being another dog, it doesn't matter when it comes to God. So now you being a ruler over a territory spiritually, you don't need to be a pastor that is known. You don't even have to be a pastor. And your friend does not have to know that, oh, this is what God is telling you to do. Even you, at first, you may not know. But when everything begins to unfold, you begin to understand better. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before we move to another question, is there another contribution? Yes. Go ahead, Ephrata.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Ephrata. So to answer your question, I'd just like us to read 1 Corinthians 1:27. Okay, so it says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." So I think this just answers your question perfectly. God uses the weak things, the little people, and does great things with them. It doesn't matter that they are weak or they are little. He still uses them.
Beautiful. I think that really answers it. I wanted to say something about that, but I was going to read it from the Message Bible. So please just permit me to read it. It says, "Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks?" And that was what Praise was saying. You know, God doesn't say, the world may label, you know, and culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose these nobodies to expose that the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. You know, that makes it clear, quite clear, that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean state and a fresh start. So the point is this. God uses, quote and unquote, what the world might have labeled nobodies, or what the world might have labeled underdogs. God uses those very people to shame the label somebodies. You understand? And at the end, so only him can be glorified. You understand? So it's not that person that is going to be glorified, is God alone that is going to be glorified, because we know that in ourselves we are nothing and we can't do nothing.
What's the name again? Peter. You know, you said David was, that in that time, David was small, was like a nobody, and God used him mightily. And you're asking if this thing happens in this 21st century. And I guess you asked that probably based on the visibility of everybody in 21st century. But, you know, from the scripture we quoted, the David that was small and was nobody, God was training him. God was what? Training him. So, and that's why Psalm 78, verse 70 was saying, from following the sheep and guiding the ewes pregnant, God was able to bring skill out of his hands. So what is important is, like Stacera was saying, wherever you are, what God is telling you to do, the little that God is putting in your hands, pray, read your Bible, praise the Lord, and you will be doing those things in secret. But when God rewards openly, they will say, who is he and where has he been? But nobody knew when God was training in secret. I just want to remove that aspect of training. It's not that God just, nobody, God just comes and just pee. That so-called nobody, God was training in secret. Praise the Lord. What now baffles everybody is when God now brings him out openly to be manifest. Because the bride has made herself ready. So David was ready for the task because he had been prepared secretly. Praise the Lord. So that's very important. In World War II, Russians were being defeated by the Germans. They were killing Russians every day. But the head of Russia then, he knew winter was coming. So he got some elite soldiers, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and didn't allow them to fight. And people they were wondering that, hundreds of thousands of elite soldiers, and they were killing the Russians every day. He now took them to Siberia. The temperature in Siberia is like minus 40. And those ones were training there. And Siberia has 8 months winter. So they were training. So when the regular winter came in November, December, he now unleashed those people. And those people were already warm, inside cold. So when people were suffering from winter, those ones were alive. It looked like suddenly, but they were being trained for months in the cold. So you may be in the cold now, not visible, but undergoing God's training. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Everything has been said. I just want to read a part of the Bible for us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. I will read in NLT. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are made for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for every use. Verse 21. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for his purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. So, like our fathers have said, we have to make ourselves ready. And it is when we are ready that God will be able to use us. God will not use you if you are not ready. If you don't make yourself ready for him to be able to use, he will never use you. God bless us.
Thank you, sir.
God, I just wanted to add, excuse me, please. Quite all right, David was the least, but according to what Prof said, just buttressing it, if you notice, if you look at Joseph too, if you look at Ruth, the people we are talking about, and many other examples in the Bible, God breaks people to use them. If you look at Joseph, if you look at even Moses, God took them out of their comfort zone. Joseph is particularly a very interesting example. He was born into a wealthy family and the favorite of his father. But there, he being the last born, we know how last borns can be very wonderful. I don't want to say spoiled. So he had 11 brothers, no, 10 brothers ahead of him. So you can be sure he was probably doing no house chore. And it was his father's favorite. So he probably didn't have any capacity. He was just eating and flangering and enjoying his life. But God saw that, okay, this guy, I have a plan for him. But if I leave him here, he won't be able to do anything. So God took him, of course, many circumstances, but God works everything together for our good. And then God took him to a place where he learned human resource management, where he learned how to manage financial resources, material resources, so much that Pharaoh could say, he was a young guy, probably younger than many of us or our age mates. And imagine he was handling, I don't know how wealthy Pharaoh was, but he was handling a lot of people, a lot of resources with integrity and accuracy. So much that Pharaoh said, Potiphar, sorry. So much that Potiphar said, I have to put everything I have. Potiphar could rest. So what am I trying to say? People can be the least, but God takes them and breaks them and makes them to develop capacity so that they can fulfill the dream. So like Prof was saying, what you see is, this young boy, where did you come from? You don't know days of intercession that the person has, days of prayer, days of reading the Bible, days of developing capacity. So that's what I just wanted to add. God bless us.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
More characters, more questions.
Last question.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to share God's word together. Okay. All right, praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to share God's word together. I quickly want to just talk about two characters of David that is very paramount to even the spirit without measure that our man of God has been taking us into. And that is your love for God and your understanding of God's love. We found so much in the life of David that David is an adamant lover of God. He loves God so much. And David also understands the love of God personally. And you know, if you are going to experience spirit without measure, you will need to really know how much God loves you. It's very important. And you need to be a lover of God's people at the same time. You know, in Ephesians 3, I guess verse 17, he said that you be rooted and grounded in love, you know, to be able to comprehend with the same the length, breadth, height, and width of God's love, so that you will be able to fill with the complete fullness of God. That spirit without measure, where you are filled with all of God and you can do anything, you know. But the foundation is that you should be able to understand how much God loves you. You should be filled with God's love. Know it well. You know, he said being rooted and grounded in the love of God. And David, in fact, if David slap you right now, he will still talk to God. That's one thing I noticed about David. You know, last week after, you know, after we left there, I took my time to read about it. If he slap you right now, he did something wrong, he will still go and pray. In this our generation, if we do something wrong like this, for 5 days, we will go away. You know, we will not pray. But that's not applicable to David. Even if David find your trouble, he's the one that look for your trouble, he will still believe God is at his back. You know, when we look at his statement, he will say, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil for God. David did a lot of wrong things. A lot, and he's still confidence in the love of God. He will believe, I will go and nothing will happen. He just have this extra, you know, this boldness in God's love. He just believes so much. He will say, even if I sin, it's not your business. He will still go to God. He will still, you know, he won't allow anything to stop him. He loves God so much, and he also loves God's people. And that is very, very important. So even if we do anything in our relationship with God, whatever we do, let us always keep the love of God. It's very important. And then the second part is righteousness. You know, it's righteousness. Righteousness is in two ways. Of course, it started with the one Jesus wrote for us on the cross of Calvary, making you, you know, he knew no sin, you know, like that. You were made the righteousness of God. But then there's another, you know, righteousness has a direction and an end. The end of righteousness is not just, okay, you know that you are born in his presence without inferiority, you know, Jesus Christ was made sin for you. Yes, good, that's right. You need to understand that. But there is still this, you know, end to righteousness. Righteousness is an ability to take God's place. And we found this in the life of David so much. David took the place of God in many aspects. He will do things like God, just exactly. You know, there was a time that in conversation between Peter and Jesus. Peter said, show us God and we'll be fine. Jesus looked at Peter and said, you'll be following me all this way. He did not know God. He said, anyone that has seen me has seen the Father. And that's righteousness. When Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, it will convince us of what? Of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. Because he said, of righteousness because I go to the Father. So, in this world right now, we are the righteousness of God. We are supposed to be taking God's place. That's what David said. David said, when Bia came, I defeated... I don't know if we've seen Bia before, or lion. He said, lion came. He said, Bia came. So, he was able to take the place of God. He's not like, okay, I pray to God. He didn't say, I pray to God, that God will come and defeat lion. He said, when Bia came, I. And you know, many ways like that he did. He saw Goliath, he said, you. He said, I. He didn't say, I will pray to God. I think I'm correct. He didn't pray to God that God come and kill Goliath. He said, I myself, I'm enough. So we need to be conscious of righteousness. That we are here to take God's place. We are here to do, you know, don't say everything, God. No. Even little thing, maybe in your department or in your place, at your place of work, there's a problem. Be able to, you know, be conscious of the fact that you are the righteousness of God. And you are to take the place of God. So don't say, Kiniko, just do it. You know, like Peter. The same Peter who asked Jesus, show us God. They were passing at the beautiful gate. He said, God has saved. I said, we don't have. But what we have, in that place, he didn't say, God, oh yeah, come and heal you. He said, what we have, we will give unto. And he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So they were simply taking the place of God. So let's take the place of God. Maybe you, anywhere, somebody, and it started with small thing like somebody complains to you that I have a headache. Don't say, can you say, come. Lay your hands on the person. You understand what I'm saying? Even if the person will still take drug, but at least do what Jesus Christ will do at that time first. That, oh yeah, come. You have a headache, maybe your sister, auntie, I'm having a, okay, come. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. You can start little like that. So righteousness and the love of God, both are found in the life of David and in the life of Jesus Christ. And I believe so much that we should also demonstrate the same thing. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. While we continue, please let me just, I'm being blessed, so please permit me to just interject. I like what Nifemi said. I just want to say, understanding the love of God will cast out fear from you and help you to get bolder. And loving God will help you to recognize that you need to serve people. You understand? When you understand the love of God, the love that God has for you, it makes you bolder and more courageous. You know, you will not have this sense of low self-esteem and being self-condemnation. And when you love God, you recognize that you have to love your fellow human and you'll be willing to serve. So when you are looking at all these characters, please look at their spiritual and secular lives as well. We're not talking religion here. We are talking real life. Daniel was the prime minister. And when you're looking at the prime minister of England, the guy is bold about his religion. And I'm wondering how many Christians can be as bold about their Christ as that guy is as bold about his religion. He's showing it forth. He's carrying it on his head. You know, and I'm wondering, where are the Christians of the kingdom? You know? And so, we must not shortchange ourselves, because the characters that we are dealing with are all-round characters. You know, spirit, soul, and body. Spiritually, mentally, she talked about that, Joseph, human resource management, financial, you know, and he rose up from low to high. And David as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why I want you to stir you up, especially that in our own country, we have a dearth of leadership. You know, and so you can see that in these guys, when you look at them, their lifestyles can catapult you from where you are to that position where men, where the land is seeking for saviors in. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know.
Amen. Amen. I would just like to share something. I once heard a man of God say this, and I confirmed, and I also did my checking as well, that when God said in 1 Samuel 13, after Saul's first mistake, that I have sought for myself a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will. Now, you'll be surprised to know that David had not yet been born at that point in time, or was just a baby. Because according to the timeline of Israel, 1 Samuel 13 is like 17 years before David faced Goliath. So in God's heart, I know the reason why it was that important for God was that Israel was God's nation. Saul was not God's, was not God's perfect will. So after Saul's mistake, God needed to step in. So he raised up David And perhaps that is one of the beauty of David, why he was a man after God's heart. And that's why also in Isaiah 55, we talked about the sure mercies of David. Because right from birth, God had something in view. He had Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. So from birth, he gave him the heart that was, like he said, that loved God. Now, we shouldn't be so, different, for example. Now, there's still a way we can link ourselves to him. And he says that, the Bible says in Ephesians that we have been predestined. We have been called according to his purpose. So just as David back then was called according to that purpose of being king over Israel in place of Saul, same thing with us. God has called us according to his purpose to be kings and priests in him. Tabernacle of David. So we shouldn't say there's no discrimination in God's kingdom. God is not like, this one, you do this, this one, you do that. No, like our brother said, purge yourself, and you be unto God a vessel of honor, meet for the master, to prepare unto every good work. So I just wanted to add that. So when we see ourselves before God, you are not just what your daddy said you are, what your mother said you are, or what your lecturer says you are. Question is, what does God say I am? Just like God told Jeremiah, before I formed you, God had something in mind for Jeremiah. So God has something in mind for each and every one of us. And until you ask God, until you seek him, you will never find it out. And you don't start by finding out what God has for you. You start by seeking him first. You first seek him. Then after he shows you his identity, he now shows you your own identity, the uniqueness of your own personality in him, and what he has called you for. So like Prof said as well, don't try to copy another person's personality or method, because it can sometimes lead to destruction, or you function below potential. Why did God tell Moses to pick a rod? Because he was a shepherd. When he stood before the Red Sea, he stretched out his rod, because that was what he had. When Joshua was going to go through the Jordan, now at that point they had the tabernacle. Sorry, the Ark of the Covenant. That was what he had. And God told him, let the priest go ahead. God didn't say, you to go and look for a rod, since Moses used the rod. Same thing with David, Samson, and Daniel. They all faced lions. Imagine if Daniel was like, this is what David did when he faced lions. He fought with it. And trust me, I don't know, in those books we saw when we were younger, there were like four or five lions. But if you read that story well in the book of Daniel, the Bible says that before they fell, the lions already caught them. And there were many people there. That means there were probably more than 10 or 20 lions. A den of lions. But Daniel couldn't fight. He was an intercessor. And he just prayed to God. Being a man that loved God and whom God loved greatly, he just used what he had at that point in time. So on that question you should ask yourself is, what do you have in your hands? Because sometimes we think we need this or we need that. But then God is like, I'm more than enough for you. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. Mm-mm. David, again, when he was going to fight Goliath, what did he have? He was a shepherd boy. He had a sling stone. So he had a slingshot, and he just picked 5 stones, and he used what he had. So you should ask yourself, what do you have in mind? Because what you have in mind is greatly linked to your purpose in Christ. And don't look at your limitations. Don't focus, rather. Look at your limitations, though, but don't focus on them. Because your weakness is just an area for God to showcase his strength. Amen. Anybody else? Okay.
Good evening. So I want to talk about understanding timing and understanding seasons. When we look at these characters, like last week, my group spoke about Esther. So, you know, I was talking about fasting, and then when you say, okay, Jesus fasted for 40 days, Esther fasted for 3 days, they both understood the time and the season. If Esther had said that she wanted to fast for 40 days, it would have been way too late. So, and if she said she wanted to fast for 1 day, it probably wouldn't have been enough. And understanding that is very important. Same thing with Joshua. I think that was one of the characters we're supposed to discuss today. When he and the other 11 spies went to, when they went to spy, yeah. I'm sure he was also scared, but then he understood that that was the proper time. He knew that if they said, oh, let them wait, go and re-strategize. It probably would have been too late, and all of them would have probably missed destiny. So he understood that, okay, fine, this can be scary, but God did not bring us here to desert us. Like, he would have seen, even if he was not there at the beginning when they were crossing the Red Sea, of course, he would have heard the story. So he knows that God that did that will surely see them through this. And then Daniel, too. I mean, if we see Daniel's story from when he and the three Hebrew boys, when they said they were not going to eat the food. Yes, they were not going to defile themselves. Thank you, sir. And it was from that time they started understanding the time, the season. Like, they knew where they were. I'm sure if they were at home, they would have probably, you know, who doesn't like good food? Nobody wants to really be on a diet, let's be honest. So, but then they knew that. They knew that in that moment, that was the right thing to do. And they started preparing Daniel for where, you know, when he was now thrown into the lion's den. Many of us just feel like, you know, if anything comes, I can just handle it without having prepared daily, minute by minute, every 6 hours, and we just think that, oh, anything that comes, you know, I have God's backing. You do have God's backing, but then at the same time, have you been preparing yourself? Have you learned how to utilize God's backing for your benefits? So Daniel knew that in that moment when, you know, they were told not to worship any other gods, he had been preparing his whole life for that moment. And being thrown into the den, like Esther was like, if I perish, I perish. He knew that at the end of the day, even if he's thrown, he's going to, you know, go to heaven. So, but he knew that, you know, he didn't miss the time when he was growing. He didn't miss the time. He understood the season as a child and as a teenager. And, you know, that was able to prepare him for where he was, you know. And then Jesus, if Jesus had decided at the last minute to start his 40 days fast, it would have been way too late. Or if, you know, the time he was supposed to be on that fast, when the devil came to tempt him, if, you know, he was not fasting, he may have fallen for that temptation because he was not fortified. He was not in the spirit. He was not connecting. So I think understanding time, seasons, and, you know, timing of things is also very important. And we can see from these characters that it was something that he did. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. And thank Pastor for the privilege to share what we've been learning. So, we're doing a recap of. So, I wanted to bring out something from David. Is it David? Yes. You know, when Samuel went to David's home to look for David, the father was like, oh, he's in the bush taking care of sheep. And, you know, when David would tell Saul the story, David was like, you know, when the wolf and lion came after my sheep, I fought them. And I, you know, he did that kind of thing. He fought the lions. And, you know, from there, we would think, oh, maybe these sheep, they were like a lot of sheep. And, you know, he couldn't afford to lose that much money. But when he went to the battlefield to meet Eliab, his brother, Eliab said, who did you leave those few sheep for? He showed us that they were not really, for us as humans, were insignificant. After all, how many are they? They were just few. But we saw how that David gave his life for those sheep. Because those bears could have killed him. The lion could have killed him. And also, we saw the same thing with Jesus. You know, in John, the Good Shepherd, it will tell us how that the Good Shepherd will leave the 99 sheep and go after that one that is lost. Showing us how that from David, all the sheep were significant to David. He didn't look at them like they were just few sheep. And that's how exactly Jesus sees us. Everybody in Jesus' life is important to him. He would not look at us like, oh, it's not just a miracle. Forget it. No, he would actually go. And that was why, you know, when Jesus was praying for his disciples, he said, all that you have given to me, none of them were lost except the son of perdition. I know for Jesus to say that means that Jesus tried all he could. Because Jesus knew that, what's his name? Judas was stealing his money. Jesus knew, but Jesus still kept the purse with him. So Jesus definitely believed that this boy will hear word one day. But, you know, but we saw how that it was important. Jesus tried not to let him out of his sight because Jesus wanted, Jesus, just as David took care of those sheep, and you know, Jesus referred to us as a sheep, that we are a shepherd, that the shepherd must do all that he can to take care of the flock. And we saw that in David, was also that in Jesus. And we also see it as, you know, a lesson for ourselves that, you know, like Pastor Alo and Prof will always tell us how that, you know, that God is raising us up. And, you know, one proof of spiritual growth is that God begins to give you people that you'll be oversight over. They may be one or two or three. I know there's that trick to want to look at them that it's not just one person. It's not just two persons. It's not just three persons. But what we must remember that that one person, Jesus Christ paid his blood for that one person. That two people, Jesus Christ paid his, gave his blood for them. That means it doesn't matter even if he's half a human being, which of course does not exist. But those lives are important to God and we must treat them as such. We mustn't look down on any life that God has placed over us, over our care. We must see them as, God will ask miracle, what did you do with this one person that I gave to you? So, thank you, sir.
Amen. Any other on Joshua and Daniel? Okay.
Praise the Lord. Okay, it's good to be back. Okay. All right, so actually, I was listening last week to the interaction session, but Pastor adding Daniel to the discussion. I want to just say something about Daniel. His decision to not defile himself influenced others, because we could see that that decision was firstly individual, then it influenced the three other guys. So, because you see that it was one that stepped out that he told the guy that he was not going to defile himself with this. Then the other guys, they followed him to make that decision. So my little addition is just that when we choose to do God's will, it influences people around us. We shining as light influence people around us, and it because also with Esther, you know, we saw that she made the decision to fast, and she said she and her maidens. So how did she get people that could fast in the palace? How come? So a light had influenced people already in the palace. She already grouped people in the palace that were already shining as light also that could even fast and pray. Because she was the only light that went to the palace. But how come they were already maidens already? So my point is just that our decision to do God's will influence people around us. Yeah.
Amen.
Good evening. Olamide, my name. I'm grateful for this privilege to say one or two things about what we learned last week. Yeah, I'm focusing on the new characters. I don't want to go back to the old ones. Joshua. Yeah, I picked up some things about the life of Joshua. Joshua was a man of courage because it takes courage to actually follow somebody. Yeah, a saying says that courage is not just the ability to stand up and speak out, but also the ability to sit down and listen. So Joshua was a man of courage. Also, he was a man of service. It takes somebody to serve under Moses for a period of time before God picks you out for training, for leadership. Professor was saying something about the other time that from the first question we started, so I've been meditating on it. He said, can God pick someone who is not qualified? Yes, God doesn't pick people based on their qualification like we see them earthly, because the Bible says that my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are above the earth, so I'm always different from your ways. But before God picks somebody, there is a process of training, which none of us know, that's between God and that personal individual. That process of training is what we learned in the life of David in the verse Professor brought out in Psalm 78, verse 70, that the way David was diligent, his heart of integrity, following those ill, which is the female sheep, is what made God single him out as the next king of Israel. So I'm focusing on the lives of Joshua, rather. Sorry for digressing. Joshua, a servant of Moses, in terms of discipleship. Nowadays, I want to refer to our present day. How many people is going to take, how many of our so-called fathers in Lord, sorry to say, would take people under their wings for proper discipleship? Because in the secular world today, if you want to get a job, they say they are looking for a reference letter, recommendation letter. Who can recommend you in this present generation? Who can say, yes, that's my son. I can vouch for him. I know his character. So Joshua was actually recommendable by even Moses because he was a servant. Also, Joshua was a man of faith. Like my sister said earlier, when he was sent with 12 spies to go and view the land, you know, the other 10 spies were like, no, I don't think we can actually overcome this land, because they saw in the eyes of physicality, not in the eyes of faith, that there are giants in that land, the son of Anakim. They would just crush and crumble us. But only Joshua and Caleb would say, the God who has brought us thus far They could stand on the confidence of their testimony, like the life of David, like my brother mentioned earlier. His confidence was based on his past testimony, that the God who delivered me from the hand of the bear, the hand of the wolf, would deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. So that's just what I want to chip on again. Also, I would have loved to digress more, but the similarity which I can see between the life of Joshua and David is a life of consistency. Daniel was a man of consistency. He had a personal time for praying. And despite in the face of persecution, when the king gave an order not to pray at certain time, he could not defile that time. He was steadfast. He was diligent. In our present generation, can we find people who are diligent? What Prof said earlier really touched my heart, that this generation, it's a monetized generation. You can't really find anybody who is willing to do something without asking that question, what is it? What is in it for me? What is my personal game? The popular word we say in our generation, who yep. God have mercy. So may God help us. I believe once we are being tutored by good leaders in the area of discipleship, we will build good children who can stand in this generation. Praise God. So another word is self-discipline. In the life of Daniel, I think my brother also said that. I don't know, maybe he stole it from my book in the spiritual realm. Self-discipline. When Daniel mentioned that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. He influenced others, but he had to make that self-discipline in the area of food. May God have mercy on us. How many of us can discipline ourselves in this generation? In Nigeria today, there's never sufficient food. So it's either you're hunger striking or you're fasting. May God have mercy on us. So those are the few things I could have seen. I can see in those two lives of Joshua and Daniel. And the similarity is that they're both consistent. They're consistent in seeking the will of God in prayer. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
But can we look at Exodus 33:11 in the New King James, or any version, but I'll be reading from the New King James. It says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." I think, if you look at Joshua and Elisha, their names are actually similar. Joshua is, Eli is God. Joe is Jehovah, God. So, and I see a lot of similarities between both of them. Elisha also followed Elijah and they served. But that aside, Joshua did not only follow. It's important for us to have mentors. It's important for us. Thank God we are blessed. In fact, our generation is like the most blessed generation. We have a lot of solid men of God preaching the word of God in different resources at our availability. But after Joshua stayed with Moses and they were in the tabernacle and everything, when Moses left, Joshua stayed in the tabernacle, symbolic of the presence of God. So Joshua had a personal relationship with God. So it moves from My pastor said, which is very, very important, to God told me, which is very important. I don't remember the exact day, but there was a statement Mommy Sarah made. Said, "Hey, omo, there are situations that we'll get to. It's not what somebody told me. I think someone was saying it. It's not what someone told me. Is what God told your personal convictions. There are situations you get through that it's only your personal convictions that will pull you through. So I think it's very important for us. We come to church. We, for those of us that are privileged to be close to men of God, we are close to men of God. We learn from them. But then after we have left, after service is over, after the whole external thing is over, let's make sure that we have a personal, we stay in the presence of God. It's important for us to stay. I know we've been very taught, I don't want to belabor it, but it's important for us to stay. Let's stay in prayer. Let's stay in the word. There's a level of intimacy with God that transforms us, that makes us. There were other people, there were other elders, there were 70 elders under Moses. There was Aaron and all who were very close to, they were the ones that held his hand during the battle. But when God was going to hand over the baton, He didn't hand it over to either of them. He handed it over to Joseph. I mean, Joshua, sorry. And I think it's, I don't know the other reasons. I'm not God. But I think it's very important that he, because he had a personal intimacy with God, God could hand over that ministry to him. God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Any other person? Any question? Or okay.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to read from the book of Psalm 119, verse 10 to 13. Sorry, please. Psalm 119 from verse. Let me start from verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Now I'm talking about Joseph. Joseph, during the time of Joseph, there was no Bible. That's the truth. There's no Bible. And this man could actually keep his ways. A young man could actually keep his way. And he stood even to the end. Verse 10 says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I see this is the actual thing that helped Joseph. He hid the word of God in his heart. The word of God was there in his heart. His father has taught him. And he could still stay with those words, despite all the things he was going through, despite the hard time, despite him being a slave, he could still stand. When you get to Genesis chapter 39, talking about when the woman came to him, he was still able to stand. He was like, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Why did this saw that as wickedness? Because he has actually hid the word of God in his heart. He has a relationship with God, like Sister Info was talking about. He has what? Intimacy. There is this connection between him and God. He could understand that this is what God wants, and he knew that this is not what God wants. It's not just all about the father has said. His father made mistake. But him, he never stayed in that place of mistake. Praise God. So there is this importance of knowing God for yourself. Let it not just stop as she has said. Let it not just stop as you knowing it as the God of our fathers. Yes, the God of our pastor, the God of our father. But it should also come. There's a question I always ask myself. When will God call himself the God of Sam Ayomide? God can call himself, I am God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. When will he call himself the God of Sam Ayomide? And that will be in the place of consistency with God. Knowing him for yourself. Spending time with him. Knowing his mind. Because there is something called the mind of God upon everything. Yes, there is will. That you must know what he actually wants for you. And there's another thing I actually want to bring out there. From him knowing God, that was why he could stand, not even defending himself, when the woman lied on him, said everything. The Bible talked about she telling the story. She cooked all the story and said it. And Joseph never defended himself. He stood. And everything was said about him. And till he got to the prison. Everything, a man that his destiny was to go to the throne. And he's going to the prison. But because he was with God. Because he knew the God he is serving. The Bible made us to understand why he was in Potiphar's house. God was with him. And God made him prosperous in everything he did. God blessed his master because of him. When he got to the prison, God was still with him. So even when the time is hard, one thing we should be confident about that God is with me. If God is with you, despite how hard anything might be, one thing, a particular man of God, I heard this some time ago, said, one thing that should be your confidence is what?
you not losing the presence of God. Even if you are losing all the money, even if you are losing everything, even if you are losing everything, if you are not losing the presence of God, then you are still secured, because that presence of God will bring everything back in abundance. Joseph loses the honor he has in his father's house. He loses the great position he has in Potiphar's house. He loses him being a very free man in the prison. But God took him to the best. So the best is always there for us. Even when everything seems that it seems as everything is going, let's just keep focused, stay with God, and the best of the best will come to our life. Pray God bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Anybody else?
It's good that Joseph has come up. You know, this scripture has been a burden on my heart, and I don't know, because of the times we're living in, and it's in, he mentioned it, but I just want to read it and bring it out, because it's a strategy that Satan uses. It says, so it was, Genesis 39:10. It says, so it was, she spoke to Joseph day by day. You know, so these things are like, my sister talked about daily preparation. You know, and then we heard about consistency. These things that these guys enjoyed and how they overcame were not magic or wands. They were things that they did. Of course, the foundation is the mercy and the grace of God. But it's important that you know that there are responsibilities and activities and actions that we need to take. You know, and like Prof would say, zeroing about Joseph, he did not. The end is that she spoke to Joseph day by day. And you see, this thing is a spirit that speaks to us day by day. It can speak to you through movies. It can speak to you through books. It can speak to you through Instagram, through Facebook, through Netflix, bombarding you. It comes through different channels. You know, and so you need to be aware of your enemy, you know, and the strategies that he tries to poke. This thing that he does is the same thing. But recognize that she spoke to him day by day, you know, but I like the way it responded about the spirit of Joseph and the method he used. He says, and he did not heed her. You must not hear that thing. You must not listen to it. You must not, you can come as a thought. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord just talking about immorality says, just thinking about and lusting after it in your heart is sin. You must not heed that thought in their heart. And so also he says, to lie with her or to be with her. To lie with her in your heart or in action or to be with her. So you see the strategy, you know, you flee all appearances of evil. You take the actions that you know will mutilate and kill that thing at that point or deaden it. If you know, that will not provoke sin exactly and not promote it. You know that staying alone is a challenge. You get out. You understand? You know a particular browser is a challenge to block certain things. You understand what I'm saying? You need to take strategies in the place of intercession of prayer. You know, like Sarah was talking about in the morning. You start your day like that. But faith without works is dead. And you need to be aware of day by day. That's the thing that girl was doing. You know? But he did not heed her. And so there was the other thing that you are heeding, you know? You can't just be empty minded, and then to be with her, you flee all appearances of evil. You have to take, there are some times that it takes actions that you need to take on the other side to attack that thing and defend yourself and protect yourself. Do you understand? So I just feel that I should talk about that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I am really persuaded that we should round up on this Joseph's notes. Praise the Lord. I know this Joseph's not. Pastor, let me open that. Help me open Luke chapter 2. And thank God, you know, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. We've really shared beautifully today. And I picked this scripture came to my mind. And we'll round up with Joseph on this. What's the name? Rolake. And your fair uncle. I've had that. We'll try to put it together. You remember Simeon and Anna? Okay? You know, easily, we always remember Anna. That what did Anna do? She did what? First, what did Simeon do? We seem to remember Anna more, isn't it? The Simeon and Anna may say, because Anna prayed. Now let's read Luke chapter 2 about Simeon. Luke chapter 2. And behold, verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, that's righteousness, Nifemi, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Amen. A man of anointing. A man of prayer. He carried the anointing. Praise the Lord. And many of us, thank God, God has helped us. For the fathers of the house, they've emphasized prayer and everything. We put efforts to pray. The Holy Ghost was upon him. He taught us the blood of Jesus. Pray. The next verse, 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. He had revelation. He had prayer and the word. Amen. Simeon had that. Was a man of prayer and he read his Bible. Praise the Lord. So as we are praying in the morning, Pastor Lalo has sent in the verses we should be reading. Amen. But many times, we miss that last step. And that's what Rebecca was saying. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Amen. If the Holy Ghost was upon you, and it was revealed to you by the Holy Ghost, if you did not come to the temple that day by the Spirit, you will miss Jesus Christ. You will miss Jesus Christ. Even though you are a man of prayer, even though you had the revelation, but if you didn't come by the Spirit, because it was that day that he came into the temple. So if you miss that day, the whole consolation, the whole reason why you are there, will be gone. Amen. Says it's timing. Praise the Lord. It's as many. No, for Rebecca finished sharing, I told Pastor Lalo, I said the summary of what she just said is that as many as led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. He came by the Spirit. The whole essence of the prayer and the word, the concoction, is so that at the right time, you don't miss the leading of the Holy Spirit. You need that word, that prayer. But be conscious, Pastor Papa Raf said, he said, what is the whole essence of living right and yet miss God? Because it's religion that keeps sticking all what you've been doing to be living right. I did the prayer, I read the word. I did the prayer, I read the word. I did the prayer, I read the word. But you did not come by the Spirit into the temple. So all that prayer and the word, the end point is that when God needs you to act, when God needs you to move left, when God needs you to shut up, you'll be conscious of it and you'll obey at the point in time. That's what they call bringing, he brought forth his fruit in season. Whatever is needed. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tie it to Joseph. He did not lie with her or to be with her. Amen. It's by the Spirit. Told you a story. I've said this story here many years ago. Probably a year, 2 years, 3 years. The way time flies nowadays. Because I said I want to end with this Joseph thing. Because this is now the real life. Amen. What do we do about sexual immorality? We pray. I mean, if you are really conscious of your purity. Amen. You pray about it. You confess the word of God. You pray. You confess the word of God. Far be it from me to commit wickedness. The almighty nature of me will not commit iniquity. Amen. Holiness become thy house, O God. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then will I think upon a maid? And then you bind the devil and everything. Good. I went to serve. NYC. I left Ibadan and went to Maiduguri. 21-year-old boy. I was in camp. And I'd been born again I was born again at 17. So I'd spent 4 years in scripture pasture, learning to pray, learning to confess, everything about sexual immorality. So when we were going, those of us who were friends, we all warned ourselves. I remember my friend, so they post it to say, Cross River. Cross River. Be very careful, though. Don't let Cross River girls carry you. But you know, young boys were conscious. And one day I went to the Mami Market. What do we call it? So I went to buy malt. So I bought my malt. I sat down. I was drinking my malt and finished it. And then I stood up and went back to the cashier, so to say. I wanted to pay. And she said, no, you can have your money back. I said, why? She said, she paid for you. So I couldn't turn to see the she that paid. But it would be rude. She paid for you. So I did two things at the same time. I left and said thank you. You know what you can do? I left and I said thank you at the same time. So that I didn't fixate on the person. I just, thank you very much, and just left. I thought it was done. And one day after the early morning parade, behold, she was next to me. Say hi. I said, hi. See, you didn't even ask me that day why I bought malt for you. This is the real life, oh. You know, it's easy to say theory. This is the real life. I said, well, thank you very much, uncle. Said, her words. You are a unique all-rounder. I see you marching because I was in color party. Those who carried the flag. I see you in this. You are playing football. I saw you at the fellowship. Complete all-rounder. I said, thank you very much. So when I got back the next day, I, in my mind, said, okay, let me get close to this friend. And that was when God just showed up and said, don't near that girl. You know, a time comes you hear God. Don't near that girl. So, you pray. You want to live a righteous life. You read your Bible, you see it. But, is it at the expense of God say, don't near. And I know, you know, I was in that right here. You believe you are in charge. My mind there, I said, but don't near that girl. But I was very adamant that it's harmless. She's just a nice person. Just go, what is it? Don't near that girl. So after the struggle, this is what I wanted to do. But the spirit said, don't do this. Okay, let me just don't near. Don't near. Okay, later I said, what's my own? Don't near. Okay, don't near. So I made sure I wanted to do everything to get near. Now I just stayed away completely. Then the next time we ever spoke, we finished camp. On the day we finished camp, I said, I remember her name. Where did they post? They posted me to Bill. Okay, I'm in Meduguri. I'll be with the Christian Corpus. And we said bye. A few months later, I visit the town where she was. Because I was now President Christian Corpus. So I visited the town where she was. So I asked. I was with a new set of corpus who just came. So I now asked of her. And that one I said, I thought you are a brother. How can you know that girl? I said, we camp together. I said, that girl? She has slept with soldiers. She has slept with teachers. She has slept with the youth corps coordinator. No. And I remember God said, don't near that girl. Don't near that girl. So probably I will have been included in the list. How do you want to be strong? By your strength or when God tells you, don't go somewhere? The strength, your strength is obey that, don't go somewhere. Not that, no, let me go. When I get there, I will bind the devil. That is not strength. That is foolishness. And many times, that's where we get into problems. Presumptuousness. We've prayed. We have read the Bible. But we can't move by the Spirit. And it's very important for young people, particularly when it comes to sexual purity. Many times it's not, I've always said it, it is not waywardness that is the problem. And most of the people are not wayward.
It's not being promiscuous. There's the problem. Most people,
you're just careless. You're just careless. That thing will beep you. Get out of here. You say, there's nothing now. He's just a normal guy. And that is saying, get out of here. That's to be led by this. Just obey. Praise the Lord. It saved Joseph. It saved Joseph. It will save you. Continue the prayer. Continue the word. But that being quick to obey, quick to acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he will do what? He will direct your path. Obey the direction. Obey the direction. Praise the Lord. We are learning. But, you know, when that Joseph, I just felt less. When Pastor now read, I said, this is where we are ending. This is where we are ending. Amen. I didn't know. You know, I just said at the beginning that Joseph, is there anything to learn from Joseph as a young person? Him and Potiphar's wife. Him and Potiphar's wife. Sexual purity is very important. Because it's not just an act. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. What is the, and I end with this, what is the command for our own time? You know, if it's 30 years ago, sexual immorality, oh God, I'm sorry, uncle, but there's something for your own time. What's for our own time? Get the sin nature out of your mortal body. That is now crucial, that you can't afford to stain your body with the wrong spirit. 30 years ago, the church was not at the mandate of cleansing teenagers out of mother, but you make a mistake, God forgive me, the blood of Jesus cleanse your spirit, you are free to go. But now, you want to miss the day of your visitation. The God's mandate for your time is cleanse that thing out of your body. And then you now want to go and pack it into your body. That's why it's crucial now. It's very crucial. We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, in which, in this time, you can't afford, amen, to entangle yourself with sexual impurity. Your mandate is to clean out sin nature, spirit, soul, and body. It's now available in your time. You can now not pour dustbin into your body at this time. Amen. Let's rise up. Let's rise up. Let's rise up for prayers. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Oh,
it's a prayer. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me
to be a sanctuary.
To be a sanctuary.
Pure and holy.
Pure and holy.
Tried and true.
Tried and true.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
I will be a living.
I'll be a living
sanctuary for you.
Sanctuary for
one more time. It's a prayer. Lord,
Lord, prepare me,
Lord, to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy.
Pure and holy.
I'll be a living.
I'll be a living.
sanctuary.
I'll be a living
sanctuary.
Sanctuary for you.
Let's start to talk to God in repentance. You might have fallen into sexual sins, weakness of the flesh, or you know yourself that many times you've been careless. You've not fallen, but God will tell you something, you won't do it. You are not in the fire yet, but you braced beside the fire. For that attitude, repent. Presumptuousness. You've not made up your mind yet about sexual purity. You need to repent of that lack of making up your mind. There's no condemnation here. You've fallen, repent. We are under covering of our fathers. We want to turn a leaf to a new day. It's repentance that is the issue now. From dead works. Repentance from a wrong attitude. From pride. From presumptuousness. And asking for the help of God. The song and the prayer we sang. Lord, prepare me. Let that mind be prepared. To stay holy, to stay righteous. I am definitely sure Joseph prepared that mind. Joseph prepared it by the help of God. Tell God to help you to be quick to obey the Spirit. To be quick to obey. So you can get better and better in your level of obedience. I can get better and better in my level of obedience. Talk to God. Break the chains. Break the yokes. Free yourself. It's possible. You have come for a time like this when there must be pure vessels in a great house. There are many vessels. Now God is raising vessels of gold. What do you do in the time of gold? It's to become gold. It's to become gold. That's the timing. That's the timing. That's the timing. 40 years ago, silver were great. But the time came in Solomon, they threw the silver outside in the mountain. It counted as nothing. It was only pure gold. We have come to the time of pure gold. You can't now be saying that silver is good enough. Know the reason for your own time. Tell God to help you. It's not by might, it's not by power. It's by the Spirit, but that Spirit will lead you. Just obey the leading. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you because you love me. You care for me. You warn me. You chastise me. You instruct me. And you direct me because you love me. You want me to be a partaker of your holiness, a partaker, a carrier of your glory, to be a pure gold vessel. Lord, I am willing. Lord, here I am. Make me. Here I am. Change me. Here I am. Transform me. I repent of every wrong attitude, of presumptuousness, of carelessness, of lack of obedience, delayed obedience to the voice and instruction of the Holy Spirit. I want to be a pure vessel. Take me away from sexual impurity, from sexual sins. Let me live a life pure, holy, until you provide me with my own mate, to the praise and glory of your name.
In Jesus' name, amen. Marika, declare war against the impurities of your body. Makrakakastere. A man's enemies are members of his household. Kraposto papa parige. Rababa shantelele. Karika seke pambadore bagantre gedoros. Papa barite. Parante baba shakata. Maribakato stele. Kariba sente. Rebebebe steke rebaba shanteke. Marika tele. Papa poste. Parente. Bosha. 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 Kapa mundo barima. Rebobo shante gerege. Popo suntra baba. Mari bekes to pregeya garaba. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.